Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium.
Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder and was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being, is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we knew where we were going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that
hey,
was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
That's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org. You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
It's so weird hearing Wolfman Mac in the and the thing, because I just talked to him like just a little bit earlier, and
yeah,
you're listening to Ghostly Talk with your host, and so that's just really kind of weird. However, this is an exciting hour because Heidi Hollis is an internationally known researcher of various unsolved mysteries, from angels to aliens. Millions have heard her share how to invoke Jesus' name to protect against aliens, shadow people, and other negative beings. And now, in her new book, Jesus is No Joke, she reveals how she became inspired. She is also an occupational therapist, an advice columnist of alienadvice.com, and the author of The Secret War. Heidi's a repeat guest. I mean, we absolutely love her.
I know why we're reading a bio.
She's taught us so incredibly much. And, you know, Heidi, your website... I'm hearing an echo. But
turn down your radio, please.
It's probably just the lines.
Yeah.
But your websites, Heidi, are www.alienadvice.com, which, of course, is permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Yep.
And then, of course, www.jesusisnojoke.com. And Jesus is No Joke has no spaces or anything. It's all run together.
All run together.
Heidi, welcome back to Ghostly Talk. It is so good to talk to you after all this time.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I missed you guys. You're like my radio family.
Totally
I agree.
Dysfunctional family.
Yeah. But yeah. I agree, Heidi. This is you've been off doing all kinds of projects, and you.
I think the last time we had you on, Heidi, was like 2000. Was it?
Yeah, but you had returned from like your world tour.
You went everywhere.
You'd gone out east. You'd gone down under.
You were in Australia.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And evidently that really inspired you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Life has been fun, that's for sure. I mean, I try to keep myself, cultured, as you can say. But, my travels have taken me to see some pretty interesting things, but nothing has quite hit me like what's happened as far as the topic of Jesus, and that's why I put together that book, Jesus is No Joke. Did you guys get a chance to look over the site a little bit?
I looked it over a while ago, and I have to say, I mean, this really, when I saw you start talking about this book that you were working on and stuff like that, it came as quite a surprise because we never talked about anything like this ever before. I mean, we've had you on the show umpteen times, and this is something that's never really came up before, so it was a real surprise for me. But at the same time, I was like, okay, it's Heidi Hollis talking about this. This has got to mean something here. So we need to talk about this. I'm just wondering.
Just so you guys know, it's kind of breaking up where I can't hear you so clear.
Oh, really? Wonder what's going on.
Yeah, it's like a weird echoey thing going on.
Maybe I should turn down the music, huh?
How
is it now, Heidi?
I can hear you a little bit better.
That's about all you're getting. That's all you're getting, Heidi. Okay,
that's the only other knob we have. We only have one or two knobs.
Yeah, we don't have that many knobs here.
And
you said this inspired you. I mean, where did this start? I mean, how did you get started on this adventure?
Well, like you guys said, you know, this is totally new ground for me to be covering, and I'm actually a little bit nervous on talking on such a topic because it is so different from anything that I've ever covered before, but honestly, this is something that began in 1999, and I wrote the Secret War book, the one that everybody knows about based on Shadow People in 97, although it got published in 2001.
Uh-huh.
So my journey, I guess you could say, in this whole topic of Jesus and whatnot started really impacting me in 99. But first, it's like because this is such a touchy subject for myself and others, you know, when it comes to anything of faith or, you know, religion, I have to say I was an outright skeptic of what people call holy encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Anything where people say they saw, you know, Jesus in a tree trunk to their bowl of soup, you know, I was like, you know, you got to be kidding me. You know, what the heck is going on here? It's like I've seen a lot of strange things in my days, but and I honestly thought, you know, I'd seen it all. It's like I've seen aliens, I've seen angelic-like beings, and I'm like, you know, if Jesus was out there, I think I would have seen him by now. It's like I felt like I was like the center of the Twilight Zone or something. Some of the things that I'd experienced personally.
Well, let's get something out of the gate here with this, Heidi. You mentioned that this is a touchy subject. Going into this thing, I thought this through myself at least and said, you know what? I don't want anything to be taboo in this conversation. What we're going to talk about tonight, I want you to be 150% comfortable with us, Heidi.
And you're going to invite me. You already know us, and we know you. I respect you.
Yeah,
I absolutely adore you. I think that you do phenomenal work. I know you do phenomenal work.
Right.
And you help a lot of people. So by you going through this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by you going through the, you know, Jesus is no joke, and going through these experiences, what you're going to do, I think, sharing it with us, is you're going to not only teach us, you're going to teach us and a lot of other people. And I think that it's going to be a benefit because everything you do, Heidi, is just phenomenal. And
exactly.
And if you went through it, we want to know about it. I want to know about
it. I just don't want you to feel apprehensive about saying anything here tonight.
Oh,
Heidi.
Yeah.
'Cause
I am apprehensive only to the extent, I mean, I'm comfortable with what I've experienced because I know what I've experienced to be true,
uh-huh.
But it's just, I know what it's like to be the skeptic on the outside, and looking at this from the outside in, you know, it could look really funny, and, you know, honestly, you guys, I'm so comfortable with you guys, this is the first show that I'm talking about this out in the open, so mm-hmm. I'm so ecstatic that I get to do it with you guys because I think you're the best show for it and the best guys, of course, and Bonnie, of course, to talk on this subject with. But just to finish off, though, too because when I was talking about the first book that I wrote, The Secret War, I was such a skeptic that I actually wrote a chapter in that book called Supposed Evidence Versus True Insight, What's Real, and I used the topic of holy encounters with Jesus as an example of people, you know, slapping a title to something they don't fully understand, because I just assumed people were seeing these angelic-looking, like, beings that I've seen myself and just saying, it must have been Jesus, you know? And I was lucky that I had that four-year gap from the point when I wrote the book and actually getting published because I got to go and rewrite that chapter. I had to eat my words because it was, it was July 19th, 1999. I had an encounter that really knocked me for a loop. And just to kind of set the stage, at the time I was a college student, and I worked very early in the morning from like 6 a.m. to 12 in the afternoon, and me being the type that couldn't go to bed early, I'd usually go to work with a few hours sleep, come back home, take a nap.
Welcome to my world, Heidi.
We all
oh,
do.
God,
yep.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's how ghost hunters work, too.
That's how, well, so that's, yeah. That's
we,
how
know,
I,
we know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm always on no sleep.
I hear you. My goodness. But this particular day, you know, I'm still hearing this odd feedback, just so you guys know, because it's jumbling your words sometimes.
I wonder if we should disconnect. Should we disconnect and reconnect, or
you wanna try that?
Do you think that might? All right,
you want us to disconnect and reconnect with you really quick?
I want to see if we can.
Sure,
get
that's
a,
fine.
Sorry
I
to do that,
see if
but
we
let's
can
clean
get
it up.
Line.
Let's clean it up. Yeah,
clean
let's,
it up. Yeah.
Hang on, everyone. Heidi, we're gonna disconnect with you, and we're gonna connect right back up with you. Okay.
Awesome.
All right,
okay.
Stand by.
Okay.
It is
yeah,
feedback.
See, I
some
even
depth,
heard
that's
that.
Not cool. We don't
I even
want that.
Heard that, and we
yeah.
don't want.
Let's let it fade out, and then we're going to call Heidi back here. You guys, well, don't let this distract you. Doug, because I know this distracts anybody very easily.
We're
going to have it out of channel.
Yeah.
But we're going to be calling Heidi, and we'll get her
back
on
the line.
Well,
the thing is I think that if she went through and researched all this stuff,
yeah,
I want to learn this. I want to know what she
found. Well, yeah, totally.
I
want to
know why she did it and how come it was important.
All right, Heidi, can you hear it? Does it sound better now?
Yeah, it does. It sounds a lot better because it sounded like somebody
was
breathing real heavy off the line.
Oh, that was me. No,
yeah,
that was both of us.
Yeah.
Really, it was me.
We know that we're all in love with
I'm
you.
I'm so
Heidi.
Obsessed
Come on.
With you. It was me.
Oh, okay.
I'm secretly stalking you, although it's not much of a secret now. But.
Yeah, no, it's on the air now. Sorry, Heidi. Let's start where we left off on though. I started to break the momentum.
Okay. I was talking about July 19th, 1999,
yes.
And came home, I was exhausted, I told my college roommate at the time, I'm like, I'm going to go hit the sack. She knew I always did this, so I went to go take a nap, and I kid you not, I laid down on my bed, and it was as if I fell through my pillow or something, and it was so, like, shocking. I was just kind of in disbelief, you know, like, where the heck am I? You know, I just laid my head down, and I'm looking around, and I was in a familiar location. It was, like, near my parents' home, and whenever I've had, like, a kind of a strange or out-of-body or whatever experience, it always seems to take place near my parents' home. So there I am standing, and I see this man walking towards me, and I'm, like, looking at him at a distance, and the size of him, the build of him, I thought it was a family friend whose name is Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, looking at him like, what the heck, you know, who is this coming? And I'm like, it looks like Quincy. And I'm like, and then it just, I can't even tell you, it's like this wave just hit me that just said, oh my God, this is not happening. And I put my face in my hands and I'm just like, looking down at the ground, because I'm kind of a goofball. I think you guys kind of know that.
No, not you, Heidi.
I'm sitting there in disbelief as to what's going on. I'm like, and this man walks up to me, and he said to me, hello, and almost as if he's going to talk about the weather in the next sentence or something, and I'm just like, hello, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. And he said, do you know who I am? And I'm just still had my head down. And he said, if you knew who I was, you would not hesitate to say it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's calling my bluff. I got to speak, you know. And I looked up, and it was strange. I mean, just as real as I'm sitting here, I looked up and stuttered. I'm like, well, you're Jesus. And I said, Jesus? I don't speak Spanish. And for some reason, it seemed right to say Jesus instead of Jesus. And he said, yes, I am. And when I looked up at him, he kind of rose a little off the ground. And I saw long white robes. I saw long shoulder-length hair. And like bright light coming from behind his head that kind of shadowed his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just, I can't even tell you how speechless and overwhelming it was to be in the presence of something and someone like that. And it was so overwhelming that I tell people I could have been blind and knew who it was because every cell in my body just screamed, it's him, you know? And he rose up into the air. And I'm still kind of in disbelief, but, you know, I know who this is. And he began to talk to me. He started talking about his life, his things that he'd done in his life and the things that he accomplished and how so much more needed to be done. And it was like images and words mixed together. And me still being kind of shocked as to what's going on, I'm like, looking around, and I'm like, this is really happening. Oh my gosh, is this really happening? This is Jesus. And I'm like, gosh, why is the ground so close to me? And I look down, and I'm on my knees, and I'm like exclaiming in my head, oh my God, I'm on my knees. I don't even remember going on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And as he realized that I wasn't fully paying attention, he stopped speaking, and I looked up at him, and you know, kind of embarrassed, like, you know, well, what do you want me to do? You know, like, wondering what, you know, what's the visit for? You know, he told me about his whole life, and it's weird. It's like, I don't remember the exact words of what he said, but I know his intentions about what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked him that question, he said, first, you have to show us some things. And I'm like, us? You know, I'm like, looking around, don't see anybody but him. I'm like, oh, gosh, he's talking about his father, you know?
No.
And I'm like, okay. And he said, first, you need to finish your book. And at the time, I was working on The Secret War. It was written already, but I was tweaking it here and there. And he said, don't worry what others say. Know that I'll be there to give you the words. And then he went on to talk about something that I knew I wouldn't be able to recall. And as he carried on sharing this part, I knew after that he was going to have to leave.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, oh, man, I have like a million and one words for him, you know. And it's like I hope he, you know, hoping that he doesn't leave too quick. And he started to fade away, and I asked him an odd question, and it's like something that I felt like I needed to know, and I said, hold on, what's my real name?
Oh.
And he laughed lightly, and he said, I love you very much, Aaliyah. And he...
Aaliyah?
And he, Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. Aaliyah. It sounded more like an I-L. And I remember going, oh gosh, I don't want to forget any details of this, you know, Aaliyah. I'm like repeating it in my head, and as soon as he disappeared, I felt myself just like shoom, go back into my body, and boom, I'm back on the bed, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, you know, I felt like I wanted to, you know, rap on the wall of my bedroom to get the attention of my roommate. But I didn't want to move because the sensation, I can't even tell you, the sensation of love, like G-force love waves that came off from him.
Mm-hmm.
It just is such a high of a tingle, like from the inside out. I didn't want to move because the sensation was still there. But then I realized, I mean, it's just when you think that, you know, it can't be any more peculiar, you know, to have had such an experience. Things really changed after that. I was laying there, and I wanted to move, to knock on the wall to get my roommate's attention, and then I realized I couldn't move. And I felt like, and I'm like wide awake, and I felt all of a sudden like something abducted me, literally, just ripped me from my body, and boom. I was put someplace else, and it was kind of like a weak rendition of what I had just seen, like of my parents, the area about my parents' home.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what on earth, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm standing there, and I'm looking around like, God, this is a terrible rendition of my parents' home, you know, I'm thinking. And all of a sudden, this thing came up behind me, and it was wearing the face of a family member, but it wore it loosely, and it, like, came over my shoulders, and over one of my shoulders, and it asked me, are you sure of what you saw? And I looked at it, and its eyes were solid black. And I'm like, what on earth is this, you know? And it said, are you sure it wasn't Quincy you saw? Because that's who I initially thought or mistook for who it was. And I'm like, you know, I don't know who you are or what you're trying to pull. And it goes, and it says to me, look, there goes Quincy now. And sure enough, like this image of this family friend of mine showed up, and it walked the length of the room, and it stopped. And I'm like, what? You know, what is this? And I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to get to, you know, what's your point? And it goes, there goes another one. And sure enough, another one popped up. And they said this like a few times. Every time I questioned, you know, who are you and what are you trying to pull here?
Uh-huh.
And I said, look, I know what I just saw and what I experienced. I said, and it was I started to say Jesus, and this thing like looked like it wanted to choke me, but it couldn't touch me, and it just redirected my attention to another Quincy. You know, I'm like, and then it finally like got the picture. I wasn't gonna back down. I'm like, I saw what I did, and this thing backed away, and I heard what sounded like a thousand like glasses crashing, and I turned around and I saw this weird looking creature, like I can't even describe, just really hideous looking thing running at me with a strange looking dagger. And all the Quincy's that were still to the right of me kind of turned their heads abnormally far towards me and started charging me too. And I remember just kind of throwing out my heart like, oh God, help me, you know, what the heck? And boom, I was pulled out of that situation, and bam, back in my room. And let me tell you, I have pounded so wildly on the wall. I was like, you know, trying to get my roommate's attention. And she ran in there. She's like, what the heck? And I'm like, you know, I just had the most incredible experience of my life, you know, and seeing Jesus. And it was almost robbed from me, you know, like something tried to rob it from me. But I wasn't going to give it that much attention. And I first, you know, I talked to my roommate. I'm telling her, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I saw Jesus. And she's like, you know, what the heck are you, what are you talking about? And, you know, here I was. I mean, honestly, I had stopped, you know, taking church seriously or anything of the sort, really. I mean, I had my faith in God and everything, but honestly, Jesus wasn't on my top list to really focus on. And I just, and she heard me saying that, she's like, hold on, you know, she'd read my chapter how I was bashing people who have claimed to have seen him, and here I am saying I saw him, and changed my whole tune. And my friends that knew me then, they were just stunned, because I would poke fun of them, you know, going to church on Sundays, you know. I'm like, say a prayer for me, because if I step in the church, I'd probably start on fire, you know, kind of joking.
Yeah.
You know, because they think, you know, oh, Heidi's into that paranormal UFO stuff, so, you know, obviously she's a cult member or something. And it's like, you know, I don't know why they ever thought that. I mean, of course, I always had my faith in God, but I never took it so far. And I wasn't shy about sharing that I had seen him on that occasion, and I shared it with people, and they're just like, you know, for you to be talking about such a thing, something major must have happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Heidi, is just that, you know, from a few minutes ago when we were talking about this, no doubt that this subject matter surprised me when you presented it to me or initially.
Right.
But I know coming from you and the years we've worked together on stuff and all the fun times we've had on the show and discussing and all of our phone calls we've done back and forth, that this would be something I need to really think about and talk about with you. Why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break, okay, Heidi? When we come back, I want to ask you a couple questions about this experience you had. But I want to go through a break and come back fresh, because I mean that was a lot.
That's just a lot to take.
Yeah. That was a lot,
because you had.
And I do want to make one comment. You just tripped me out.
I mean, yeah,
like, I'm like, totally. And I'm not being funny. Because
you had an experience that you didn't expect to have ever, right?
Yeah.
Because you were, you know, it's just like, I don't have time for that. And then, bam, you have this experience. And then all of a sudden it was, you know, something else also tried to make you doubt what you just had been through. And something that dark. And so you had, like, back-to-back, wow, we got it. Let's take a break, absorb all that in, and come back strong.
All right.
How does that sound?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be back with Heidi Hollis. Jesus is no joke. Wow. What a... All right, let's go to
break. Let's do it.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk Live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 a.m. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
I think it's official. I am possessed by the devil.
Oh wow!
Well, here's I've always
okay.
Thought
well,
that.
We haven't. Maybe I jumped. Maybe I jumped to this a little bit, Heidi. But in the last half hour, when you were telling us about this experience you had, you mentioned that you were talked to by another being who said, "Are you sure that you saw what you saw?" Right. Now, the reason I'm thinking that I'm possessed by the devil is I second-guess myself so much. For example, this weekend, I told you guys I was away at Amber's house, right?
Yeah.
I got to Amber's house Thursday night, and my brain said to me, Scott, are you sure you turned the stove off? Right? Which happens to most people, right?
Right.
But for a demented soul like I am, I just don't simply go, well, no, yeah, of course I turned the thing off. I cooked 2 days ago, and I wouldn't notice the stove has been on, right? But no, I sit there and wax intellectual on it for a couple hours. If it's on all weekend, the worst that can happen is burn the pan up. Okay, so I'm going through all these scenarios, and it basically freaks me out. Okay, and I was very happy to get home today and go, oh, tip, there was off the whole damn time, and I've been freaking out about it all weekend. And it kind of made me, the situation you were talking about, Heidi, made me think about that, actually. It was like, you know, it sounded like whoever this person was, and I shouldn't make assumptions that it was the devil either, but it sounds like whoever this was, they were trying to make you second-guess yourself for what you saw. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's strange to think that, you know, just my verbal words, you know, just having any kind of question in them would have changed anything. But apparently it would have if they were trying to get that out of me to confuse me on it. But, you know, and honestly, it's interesting to me because this wasn't the last encounter that I had with Jesus. I mean, I had three other encounters following this.
Can we talk about them? Can we talk about them?
Oh yeah. The next one was actually it kind of pulls together how the way that we think and what we accept and you know whether we're confused about something can really play into things. And I think it kind of helped me make sense of what that demonic thing was trying to get out of me. But gosh, it was December 30th, 1999, just before you know the big Y2K bug was supposed to be released, you know?
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I woke up because something really bright was in my room. And I'm like, I open up my eyes and looking around the room, and I'm like, where the heck is this bright light coming from? And I look down to the foot of my bed, and I saw what looked very much like a sun ray coming through the wall and hitting my feet. And when it was hitting my feet, again, I was immediately hit with the feeling, the recognition, it's him again. And I didn't see him physically this time. I just felt his overwhelming presence again. And I watched as the sunlight was hitting my feet start going up my legs. I pulled my blanket over just to kind of get a better look at what was going on. And the sunlight, like the sparkles, kind of started circling in my stomach area. And when it started doing this, I'm sure you guys know what it feels like to be in a hammock, you know, and you kind of swing and I felt like I was in a hammock and I just like swung out of my body and boop, I'm looking down at myself. And yeah, and I'm like, okay, you know, his presence was like so overwhelming. I felt like it just pushed me right out of my body and I'm looking down and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, what's he doing and why isn't he speaking and how come I don't see him? And when I saw the circling of the lights in my stomach area, I'm like, is he healing me? And I'll explain why I thought that thought. And the second I thought, you know, is he healing me? And I'm like, nah, he wouldn't do that for me. You know, like a question, I doubted that he would do such a thing. And the second I thought that, slam, I went right back into my body. The light from the wall, propped myself up. I looked, the light from the wall cut off.
Uh-huh.
And the trickles of light started to continue to circle a little bit in my stomach and just went away. And I'm like, pat myself. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, what was this? You know, what was going on? And you know, why did he come this time? And you know, I kid you not. I mean, that happened. Gosh, it was December 30th, 1999, and it wasn't until October of 2002. That it made sense to me what had taken place. And I run a paranormal UFO discussion group. We talk about everything, you know, even angels and all that. And somebody had come to one of my meetings, and she came there because she was obviously disabled and very sick. And she's like, you know, I've gone to a lot of healers and whatnot, and I'm wondering if aliens can heal me. And the people in my group, they're very much, you know, Christian-minded, and they're like, well, honey, you know, the only person that could heal you is Jesus. I could have slapped myself upside the forehead, you know, just gone, oh, my gosh, you know. And I sat there, and I'm like, and I confessed, I'm like, you know what? I think Jesus what healed me. And they're like, what are you talking about? For 12 years, I'd been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder called ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
And it's pretty wicked. I mean, it could ruin your liver and cause cancer and all these terrible things that are associated with it. And after, well, I was suffering with it for 10 years. And after the visit from Jesus, it wasn't that far before this lady came to the meeting that I had another checkup with my doctor, and he kind of looked dumbfounded, and he's like, I can't find the disease anymore. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, there's no cure for this, you know? And I'm like, I've been suffering with this for so long. What do you mean you don't find it? It's like, I can't explain it. Maybe you were misdiagnosed. I'm like, come on. All these years, biopsies, and proof that I have this disease, and you're telling me I was misdiagnosed. I don't think so.
Well, yeah,
and,
ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I think he might have healed me, but I still had the symptoms of the disease, and it didn't make sense to me. But I kid you not, the day that I sat at my meeting and I said, I think he healed me that day, the symptoms went away.
Oh, so it took
you. The disease was gone.
It took you almost 2 years to figure that out. It sounds like then.
Not until I accepted that that's why he came, did it go away. But it was gone. It wasn't there, but the symptoms persisted. But the day that I was like, you know, this, oh my gosh, he healed me. You know, it just went away. And just amazing to me. I just if I had any doubts of who it was, I mean, all doubts really left me then, you know?
Well, you know, it really makes sense, even in a worldly stance, because, you know, any problem you have, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge it sounds like, you know? And it sounds like you finally acknowledged that issue, and, you know, that's how you start to solve a problem. It sounds like, if it's a little backwards, it sounds like you fixed it, but you were still having the symptoms because you hadn't acknowledged that something happened that he helped you. So I mean, that makes perfect sense. It's a little out of order, but it makes sense.
Well, that, Heidi, would be considered a miracle.
I know. It's pretty wild.
Which is absolutely amazing. I mean, can you live with ulcerative colitis? Is that something that you die from, or is that something that then causes cancer that you die from?
You can live with the disease. It does usually tend to get much worse, and a lot of people have to have their colon removed, mm-hmm. and, yeah, just, And you can die from the cancer, of course.
It does progress into painful and perhaps operations, and then perhaps
a lot of discomfort.
And then complications from what it causes could cause you to pass away. So it sounds like you weren't meant to go through that. Because you had a miracle performed. I mean, that's something. The light that you saw, bright white or golden, I mean, just, do you remember?
It was very much like sunlight, kind of, you know, kind of yellowish, goldish white, you know, coming through. Very much like how, you know, when you see the sun poking out through the clouds. It looked very much like that. It had layers to it and everything.
Absolutely fantastic. But in this case, it was just a knowing that it was him.
The feeling that comes from him is just no doubt. And it's just overwhelming, truly. And, you know, just to kind of, I know that the time is short, but just to touch a little bit on the third time that I saw him,
yes.
He showed up in my room, I sat up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I saw him fully. And it was as if he was behind an altar of sorts with, like, colorful flower arrangements or something. And he didn't say anything, but he just put this outright emotion forward of such empathy for the world. Like, I couldn't even describe the burden of feeling that he had. And then the next feeling that came was he was very, very anxious to return. And It felt like it was going to be something, you know, very soon if he could help it, you know, and I can't stress it enough to people. I'm like, all I could say to people was, wow, Jesus, no joke, you know, because and it's like, I'm just like, you know, I'm very casual with the way I talk about things, and it's not to, you know, make light of what took place. I don't feel the need I have to blend UFOs with Jesus or anything. I think he could stand on his own, you know, and just be honest about it. And he's honestly been the driving force behind everything I've ever done in regards to paranormal topics and trying to help people get rid of the negative beings that kind of influence their lives and abduct them and whatnot. I mean, why do aliens respond to the name Jesus? Why do they leave when you say in Jesus' name, get out of here? You know, what's going on with that? You know, they recognize him as we recognize him. Mm. And he does not tolerate that kind of negativity from negative beings. So,
well, one question I want to ask you also, Heidi, if you don't mind. From your first experience, one thing, and I meant to ask this a few minutes ago, but of course I forget. I have the memory of a goldfish, like I keep telling people. I always forget everything. And now I remembered it, but in the from your first experience, we talked about the last half hour, one of the questions you asked him was, what's my real name? You know, and I'm wondering, you know, of all the questions you can ask, right? I'm not saying that's actually a very cool, that's a cool question.
It's a great question. It's a
great question.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what prompted you to answer that question. What experience did you have that kind of prompted you to ask him that?
You know, I'd seen other, like, angelic, like, beings or whatever, and I was told I had a different name. And if I knew what my other name was, that other memories might come forward. And so I had hoped, you know, I'm like, if I could get that question out, maybe I'll have even more to go off from on this experience. So that's why I asked him, you know, what's my real name? And I have a friend that's Israeli, and I asked, you know, because the name sounded Hebrew to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it is a kind of a combination of names, something like my God is my God,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, is what the name means. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. that's very interesting. But, I might be wrong on the translation, but I believe it was something along those lines that she told me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, because when you said that's the question you asked, I was like, well, geez, I mean, me being the moron that I am, I'm sure you've done 10 times better than I would have. My question would probably be like, what's your favorite Iron Maiden album or something like that? Because I would have choked. I would have totally choked like I usually do on something like that. You know, I thought about this too, Heidi. You know, I think the closest thing that Doug and I have had an experience like this would be one, well, actually one of two things. The first one I would say was Gregory. When we talked when Mick and Sylvie Avery come on the show, Doug, and they channeled this gentleman named Gregory. And just for some reason, I know the first time we had him on, I know both of us kind of like looked at each other like, I got all these questions I want to ask, but I'm feeling dumbfounded right now. I feel like I'm in the presence of a superior being in some ways. And you know, you kind of get choked up a little bit, I think. And the other one was with the Brian Jones incident we had on here with that.
Yeah,
that was not nearly as interactive though.
No, no.
But I mean, it was.
But that did leave us speechless.
It left us speechless.
And not knowing what to do. You know, there was one thing, and we've talked about this on the show, Heidi. There's one thing that I think we all went through. I think all of us were there. And because it's the red car incident.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where I truly, honestly believe that there was divine intervention.
Oh, I know there was, because that truck, the trucker was an angel.
There absolutely was.
Yeah.
Scott and I theoretically should have been dead at the end of that.
Exactly.
We should have.
And,
really?
Yeah. And I'm serious. That we, none of us, there should have been.
There should have been half a truck with me and Bonnie taken with that.
Right. And my friend, I would have been at a funeral, you know, 3 days later.
This was a situation by, Bonnie, Heidi, long story short, this moronic person that should have been thrown off a cliff years ago. I'm sorry to be so mean.
She was pretty stupid, yeah.
Decided to lock her brakes up on the freeway. With five cars behind her.
We were caravanning out to a
haunted place. Yeah, yeah.
And I was right behind the little red car, the lady who locked her brakes up, but I had a little teeny itty-bitty escort, and I just went, because it's as small as a roller skate. And
yeah, but in tow behind you was a big red Dodge pickup.
Huge red pickup, a full-size Explorer, a full-size, I mean, all these huge cars,
these big
huge
automobiles.
Heavy lumbering cars going 80 miles an hour down the expressway, stopped on a dime. In the next lane over was a semi.
A semi, a car hauler.
That
carries brand new cars. And that's what I told people about the situation. And Bonnie, I know what you were alluding to on that was, I felt the truck, this car hauler just buzz by my head.
I literally could have stuck my finger.
Yeah, it was that
just
close.
Just my finger out the window and touched that truck.
It was that close to us. And that was just some good driving on that guy's part. He got out of the way.
Wow.
Yeah, but something happened.
But what I'm saying, Heidi, is that this particular thing was an example to me that there is something watching out, or something doing something, and something organizing something, or pulling strings, or I don't know what it is, but something's out there, and something is making sure that the chaos of the universe doesn't interfere with us.
Unfortunately, I've had a couple of those.
You have? Oh, yes, you have. You've had the high-low incidents. You've had all kinds of them, Bonnie.
Well, heck, I just talked about earlier in the show, guys, about Thursday night and that situation I was in with the car wreck, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have, what I say earlier,
been a couple of
if I would have drove 5 miles faster an hour, I could have been part of that accident and had my car flipped over.
Wow.
So it's really bizarre that now we're talking with you about this because I was... You know, it just makes sense to me.
It makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Was there, you said there was a fourth?
I think there were three.
Was there three, Heidi?
Experiences.
Four.
No,
four.
Oh, four?
Somebody's listening here.
I guess I was just too into it,
Would you want to go on and talk about the fourth one a little bit?
It involved almost getting a tour of hell, believe it or not. This was interesting in that, I had tried to get put under hypnosis to try to just remember different things, nothing specific, and lo and behold, I met with Jesus, and I'm like, the hypnotist, it pretty much just kind of let me go and adventure into what I wanted to, and he's like, well, what do you see? And I'm like, blue eyes. And she's like, he's like, blue eyes, and I'm like, and I just, I mean, Jesus had literally taken my breath away. I could hardly speak, and he took me on to this cavern underground and opened up this doorway, and it very, very solid, very real place, and looked across to literally a gate underground of hell. And it's just blew my mind, and I'm really kind of paraphrasing what took place, but, and I looked at it, I knew what he was inviting me to go on a tour of hell, and I was like, no, thank you. I remember this place very well. And it's only because I had another experience earlier where I'd seen, had glimpses of hell. And it's kind of a long story in itself.
Yeah.
But, and just kind of, you know, we backed out of the tunnel, and I felt like this visit was to show me what I was working towards so people wouldn't have to go to this place. And honestly, I was a big advocate that this place did not exist, that hell did not exist. It's just too crazy to say it's underground on this planet. And look, there it was, you know, and I've since had many people approach me randomly telling me that they went to bed one night, woke up, they were in hell, a prisoner of hell, and it literally had gates and, you know, so on. And I've recently heard of another book that's been out called
23
Minutes in Hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bill Weiss. We've had him on the show before, Heidi.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Bonnie just pulled
the book out of the book thing here. Yeah, so we've talked to Bill before. He's a really cool guy. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And that was interesting when we talked to him. He discussed his whole 23 minutes. That's hence the title of the book. He described the experience he had. You know, and you said that people, a lot of people have had experiences or have talked about going to sleep and waking up in hell and things like that. You know, I think we've all had that experience. I know I've woken or I've went to sleep and woken up or dreamt. I don't even know how you even say it if it's an altered state of consciousness. But I've found myself in some very, very scary situations that seem like, you know, and I think everybody has their own interpretation of hell. You know, and, you know,
But Bill talks about it as a physical place.
Well, yeah, and I know the one really heavy experience I had was very weird. We only got a couple minutes here, but I know.
I hate the end of the show.
We're all right about this. The one experience I had, Heidi, was I was hanging from a wooden, like one of them old, the old German architecture, the big heavy wooden beams, you know. I remember I was hanging from one of those things, and it was super, super hot. Okay, you know, that's a common interpretation. But it was really, really muggy and hot and moist. But when I looked down, I didn't see like a lake of fire or anything like that. I saw a lake of mud. It was just mud, thick, gooey mud. And something was telling me that if I fell into that thing, I'd be no more. Right? And then I remember I dealt with that just hanging there. I couldn't breathe. It was so heavy, right? And you know, that's one of those things. I mean, people say, if you're suffocating in your sleep, you're suffocating in your dream and all these things and back and forth. But I woke up out of that. And for some reason, I felt, this was years ago, but I felt like that was somewhere I did not want to be. That was a really bad place.
Well, knock on wood, I cannot remember a hell dream that I
had. But a lot of crazy, insane.
Either.
Yeah.
With all the crazy stuff I listen to, music and, you know, whatnot, I mean, I think sometimes, Heidi, this stuff just pops in. And it is part of a dream sometimes. It may not actually be an experience. I mean, who knows?
I would be on a discotheque floor.
I think Whip is saying Detroit.
That would be my hell right there.
Yes. And I'd be there having a blast.
You'd be like, this is great, Scott. I'm like...
I think Whiplash is saying Detroit is hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Mr. Whiplash, you're correct.
Yeah, but you know what? Whole chapters in the Bible, so many parts are written of so-called dreams, and we still take their word for their dreams. Why don't we take ours more seriously?
Yeah,
and
very
it says
good
in the
point.
Bible that during these times that people will be shown, you know, truth in their dreams. So I think we need to, you know, give ourselves more credit.
Well, the sad truth is right now.
The end of the show. But, you know, Heidi, I have to say, you impress me every single time we talk.
Yeah.
You help people with alienadvice.com. You went through these experiences and you've explored them in your book, Jesus Is No Joke. And so folks can go to jesusisnojoke.com.
Yeah.
And you put it out there for people, even though right at the beginning of the of
this
the
takes
talk,
a lot of guts.
You said, hey, I'm kind of weirded out talking about this. And you know what? I hope you find that we we're here. We want to learn from you because you've gone and studied this. You've gone and had these experiences.
And this takes a lot of courage, I think.
I appreciate it.
I'm really content with the experiences. So much more it makes more sense for me. So it was weird, but I really feel content about it, and I feel lucky to have had the chance. And I think other people will also get the chance. A lot more people are having these experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Heidi, don't move. Stay on the line with us. We do have to close the show out, or we're going to get killed by Sean
yes.
and Nathan.
Yes, Sean and Nathan are coming up next.
Ghostman and Demon are going to kill
us. I want folks to go to JesusIsNoJoke.com and buy the book and find out yeah. What Heidi says about that, what she learned, how she's incorporated that into her life, and
yeah.
and how it works for her.
It's always great to have Heidi
that's
on
been,
the show,
that's been like a 9 year, 8 or 9 year journey for her.
Yeah,
so
totally.
So this is it covers a lot of ground. Before that, of course, we talked to Taylor Elwood and Lupa. Thank you so
yeah,
much.
They were awesome.
Jason Clyburn from the Prodigy Group.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Good buddy of ours.
What a show.
Heidi Hollis. Can't ever go wrong with having Heidi on the show. I'd love to have her on every week.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
Don't
you
forget,
are a dream,
no show next
Heidi.
Week.
No show next week.
And, of course, thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you at the Just Say No to Orbs tour in wherever.
Waverly, New York. You're driving there in a couple days. You need to know where it's at, though.
I'll tell my GPS, and it'll tell me where to turn.
That's a good point.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.